Hallelujah. You know, he that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, yes. And he'll quicken your mortal body. Amen. Amen. Yes. Say it with me. There's no sickness that can remain in me. Jesus set me free. I take my freedom. It belongs to me. Sickness, you have no right. I take authority over you. I command you out of my body. Body, I'm talking to you. And I am telling you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, that you will act as you ought to. You'll function as you were made to. And you are my servant. I will not live by your dictates, but you will live by mine. And mine, according to the word of the Lord, is you are healed, you are redeemed, and you are set free. I declare it, I decree it as a king under the kingship of Jesus. And where the word of a king is, there is power. Amen. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Take that to yourself. Glory to God. Glory to God. See, that's what the resurrection has done for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you know, you need to know it. You need to act on it. You need to declare it. You need to force it. You know, hell just don't want to let go. Hell is a piece of trash. And it don't want to let go. And it wants its trash in your life. And you're going to have to be the trash man. And you're going to have to take it out, because nobody's going to do it for you. Not even Jesus can do it for you. He did everything that was necessary so that you could take the authority and you could take charge. Amen. Hallelujah. And just like salvation, it's to whosoever will believe it. Not want it, like it, or hope for it, but believe it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about that. Praise the Lord. I want to share a couple things with you this morning. I guess you figured I would. But I'm going to start over in Gospel of John, chapter 20. And this is when Jesus was first raised from the dead. Hallelujah. John, chapter 20, starting in verse 11, I believe it is. Sounds like rain. Yeah. It says, but Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping, and so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. And when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. You know, sometimes you think you know the Lord. But the Lord could show up in your life in a way that you've not seen him before. Now, the disciples walked with Jesus in life and they knew him until he showed up on the water. And they didn't know him. He wants to show up in your life in ways you haven't known him. And you're going to have to allow him to reveal himself to you. Yes. See, because so many times we think we know, but we know it right here between our ears. But he wants to show up in your life in ways you haven't known him. See, you've got your theology, you've got your doctrine, you go, well, this is the way that it is. Well, not with him. It's the way it might be with you. But he wants to show up in ways and stretch you. She saw Jesus and didn't even know it was him. Verse 15. And Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Verse 17. and said to her, and Jesus said to her, stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and to your Father, my God and your God. So notice that when Jesus appeared, she didn't recognize him. But because of her relationship, she knew his voice. See, it doesn't matter how the Lord shows up. If you have a relationship, you'll know his voice. Now, I'm not talking about just a relationship about getting healed or a relationship about having your needs met. I'm talking about a relationship in your life. Because our relationship with God is one to where you have access to him on a regular basis. You don't need to go to the prophets. You don't need to go to the priests. You have access to him. So therefore, when you build your relationship with, you know, I have a relationship with my wife. I don't just talk to her when I need something to eat. But how many people talk to Jesus only when they need something to be healed? How many people only talk to Jesus or want to hear from Jesus when they have a need in their life? This should be a regular, everyday basis. She heard Jesus on a regular, everyday basis and built a relationship with him. And when he just said her name, she recognized him.
That's good.
It should be, because that was just fresh from heaven. That's not even in my notes. So what is the first thing she wants to do? Grab him. Wouldn't you? Oh, gee, you know. And what does he say? He said to stop clinging to her, but what it actually says is, don't touch me. Well, that's rude. No, why did he say don't touch me? Because he has not yet ascended. Now, if you go down to verse 27, same chapter, verses 27 through 29, Jesus shows up when the disciples are in the inner room. And then Thomas wasn't there, remember? So then Jesus comes back again. And he said to Thomas, reach here with your finger and see my hands. Reach here your hand and put it in my side. And do not be unbelieving, but be believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. So he tells Mary, don't touch me. But then he tells Thomas, go ahead, put your hand here and touch me. Into the finger and into my side. So something's happened between when he saw Mary and when he saw Thomas. Luke chapter 24 and verse 39. Luke 24:39. And he said, see my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. A spirit does not have flesh and bones. So Jesus said he was flesh and bone. Where's the blood? He didn't say he was flesh and blood. He said he was flesh and bone. So where is the blood? Well, we find that in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. Hallelujah. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation. So he was entering into the tabernacle in heaven when he told Mary, I'm going to ascend to my Father. It is not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Yes. Amen. Verses 24 through 28. So he entered in by his own blood. The blood of bulls and goats, you can only get into the earthly tabernacle. But he could get into the heavenly tabernacle because of his spotless blood. It says, for Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor was it that he would offer himself often as the high priest enters the holy place year by year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now once at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. 27 and 28. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes the judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He entered into heaven itself. There's other places in Hebrews that talks about his blood was spread on the mercy seat of God. It's not the blood of bulls and goats, but his own blood. And his blood was the payment for our sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So he shows them flesh and bone, but no blood, because the blood's in heaven. The blood is heaven in heaven on the mercy seat to show that God's mercy is in the blood of Jesus, and his mercy is extended to every human being, so that whosoever would believe would not perish, but pass out of judgment and be washed in that blood that's on the mercy seat. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Paid for our sins with his sinless, spotless blood. And one of the dangers of this is you've heard it for 20 years and it's just kind of normal now. You just kind of take it for granted now that there's not even a hallelujah in your heart when you hear that his blood paid the price for your sin. And there should never be a lack of a hallelujah when we hear that his blood paid the price for our sin. That if it wasn't for his blood, you wouldn't even be sitting here. In fact, I'm going to tell you, just like for myself, that if it wasn't for his blood, we'd be dead. And his blood has delivered us. Now, when I say dead, I don't necessarily mean dead in the dirt. I'm talking about walking in death. We'd be walking in death. You know, Ecclesiastes says the dead die better than the living live. Because most people that are alive don't really know how to live. And Jesus came that you'd have an abundance of life. Yes. Abundance of life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He paid for our sin with his sinless, spotless blood. He says, put your hand in my side. Put your finger in the nail prints. But he never shows them. He never says, look at my stripes. And he never says, look at my wounds. Well, 1 Peter 2:24, if you turn over there. 1 Peter 2:24, you all know this verse. You probably know every verse that I'm talking about today. 1 Peter 2:24, he says, and he himself, Jesus himself, bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live in righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. Okay? He traded in those stripes and those wounds for our healing. He used those stripes and those wounds to bear away our sicknesses, our diseases, our calamities, our anxieties, our pain, and our sorrow. He bore it all away. Now, some people would say, well, if he bore it all away, then why do we get sick? I don't know. If he paid the price for your sin, why are people going to hell? It's all a matter of faith. He's provided it, just like Golden Corral provides the food. Now, if you've got the faith and the money, you can go down there and eat everything and anything that they've put out there. There is no limit to what you can eat. You can eat more than you ought to eat. You can eat more than you should eat. You can eat more than your pants allows you to eat. You don't ever have to stop eating because it's been provided. But you got to believe it's your, you know, you go up once and you go, I can't go. I already went once. I can't go again. I mean, you can believe that. And it's the same thing in the kingdom. It's for whoever believes it. Well, I know people that have really, you know, had fatal issues in their life and they believed. Don't contradict the word of God. You have no idea what's in that person's heart. You know, to give you an example, there was this one pastor and there was this woman that was on her deathbed. And she continued to declare, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I will be healed. I'll be healed. I'll be healed. And the pastor went to her in the hospital and said to her, I want to know what it is you're believing for. And he said, the reason is your family has questions. And they're going to come to me with these questions. and I have to have an answer for them. And she said, I can't tell them that I'm not believing. But I'm not. And I want to go to heaven. She says, I'm ready to go. And he said, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with wanting to go. See, people think that's failure. What is wrong with people? You're going into the presence of God. How is that a failure? What is wrong with people? This is Christian people. So he had an answer because his family, her family, was going to come to him with questions. Well, she was believing. Why did she die? I've had many of those deathbed experiences, and I've had many people never ask me a question. Are you with me? Jesus, in Isaiah 53, is the great chapter of the substitutionary work of Christ, where he bore your sin on that cross and at the same time bore your sicknesses, your diseases, your anxieties, your calamities, bore your pain, bore your sorrow, bore it all at the same exact time, on the same exact cross. And he was your substitute. He took away the chastisement that should have come upon us. He took it on himself. He was chastised in our place. Everything that happened to him should have happened to us. But he took it so that we could be free.
Yes, thank you, Lord Jesus.
And it's like the old expression is, the prison door is open. What are you still doing sitting inside? The prison door has been opened. Well, I don't see myself in prison. Well, no, when your life is in prison, you have no idea. You know, I was born in Brooklyn. And being born in Brooklyn was a kind of a different kind of a lifestyle. You know, at 6 years old, we were chased by gangs every day, chased home all the time by gangs, me and my brother. My mother would be up on the top story of the apartment house. She'd be looking out the window going, come on, come on, come on. She'd be egging us on to hurry up and beat them to the house. And when you get to the house, they're apartment houses, so you had to buzz in. Well, she's not waiting for us to buzz so that she can answer. She sees us coming and times it to hold that buzzer so we can get in the door and then let off the buzzer so nobody gets in behind us. That was life. I thought that was great. We were never caught. We outran them. We were able to dodge the buses, the taxis, the cars on Broadway. We were able to dodge all that stuff, beat the gang to the house, get in the house and be safe. And go, ha, 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 you know, we beat you. So that was great, you know. And at 10 years old, we moved to Queens. And I'm like, what's with all the grass? I mean, you have to understand where we lived in Brooklyn. The tenement halls of the projects lived better than what we lived in. They were up class. The projects were up class from where we lived. So I never knew life could be any better, except for when I lived in Brooklyn. But then I moved to Queens, and there was grass, which wasn't my favorite thing because I had to cut it. And we didn't have powered lawnmowers back in those days. You know, cavemen were still roaming the earth. Yeah, the rotary push. I was so glad when they ripped all the hedges out. Oh, you know. So moving to Queens, I got a different view of life. We had 100 kids live on that one street when I moved to Queens. Yeah. Compared to the only friends we had in Brooklyn was the ones that was chasing us. So you see, you don't know life from where you're at. You only know life until you step a little further. And then at 18 years old, I took a vacation and went to the Catskills. And I thought, are you people New Yorkers? You don't talk like New Yorkers. You don't act like New Yorkers. Well, there's a difference between city and urban, you know. So you learn all these things as you grow and you get around and see some stuff. Same thing in the things of life. You don't know anything about life from where you're at. Until you get to where you need to go. And when you take that step and you make that decision, you step into a greater form of life. Amen. It's all about choice. Yes. Jesus did all the work for us. He was the substitute for us so that we can have life and life more abundantly. Yes. Glory to God. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Hallelujah. It says, but one has testified somewhere saying, what is man that you remember him, or the son of man that you're concerned about him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have appointed him over the works of your hands. And you have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not yet see all things subjected to him. Go back to verse 7. Now this is a quote from the Psalms. You have made him a little lower than the angels. But Psalm says you made him a little lower than God, which is the Hebrew word Elohim, because in the book of Psalms, he's talking about mankind. Mankind was made a little lower than God. But now he's talking about Jesus. You made Jesus a little lower than the angels. Well, when did he make him a little lower than the angels? In his death. When he bore your sickness and your diseases and your sin. When he bore your sin, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Made a little lower than the angels to pay the price for our sin. Are you with me? Amen. He traded in his thorns for a crown of glory. You've crowned him with glory and honor. No more crown of thorns, but now a crown of glory and honor. He is crowned the King of glory. That's why we can reign in life as a king under the crowned King of glory. He took away the curse of darkness and took hold of the riches of darkness that is for us. Jesus came to free all the riches of darkness, what darkness stole from mankind. Jesus came to free that so that we could get it all back again. Don't shout me down. Glory to God. No more thorns. No more stripes, no more blood. He gave them all for us. He kept the nail prints as a witness of being the sacrifice that's worthy to judge everything and everybody. Everyone will at one day confess that Jesus is Lord, whether on this side or on that side. Everybody will confess Jesus is Lord. And this is why it says in Corinthians, if the rulers of this age, meaning Satan and all his demonic forces, if the rulers of this age had known it, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory.
That's right.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. Colossians chapter 2. It says, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh. Well, when was that? That was before you accepted Jesus as the Lord of your life. Without Jesus as the Lord of your life, you're still dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh. But since we are children of God, we have received Jesus as Lord of our life. We were dead in our transgressions and in the uncircumcision of our flesh. But He's made us alive. Even when you were dead in your transgressions and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he did everything necessary for you to be made alive with him. And he's forgiven us of all of our, he paid the price so that all of your sin could be forgiven. Whether you accepted Jesus or not, your sin has been paid for. Why are you going to hell when your sin's been paid for? That's like saying, oh, thank you for paying off my mortgage, but I'm going to do it myself. You're an idiot. Who would do that? Somebody's got some mental issues. You want to pay off my house, but I'm like, no, I'll do it myself. What is wrong with you? Jesus paid off all of your sin. Why would you go to hell with your sin already paid for? He's redeemed us. He's paid the price of the sin of the world. Isn't that right? Verse 14 again. Did we go there yet? 14. Having canceled out. See, he canceled out the certificate of debt. What's the certificate of debt? It was all the decrees against you, all the laws of God that you've broken in all your life. It was all nailed to the cross. And it was all hostile to us because it demanded judgment. But in Jesus, you pass out of the judgment because he took the judgment for you. And he's taken it out of the way. He nailed it all to the cross. So when they nailed Jesus to the cross, they didn't just nail him to the cross. They nailed everything against you to the cross. Hallelujah. Verse 15. And when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities. That is Satan and all of his host. And he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus was raised from the dead. But not just the death of that tomb. He was raised out of eternal death. Now, when it comes to Jesus going to hell, there are various explanations of whether he suffered in hell or not. But, you know, there is the law of atonement that has to be fulfilled. You know, there are other things that had to be fulfilled. If sin is paid for, it's not paid for in a physical death. It's paid for in eternal death, in hell. And then there are others that say, well, he did not suffer in hell. But where there is absolute agreement on is that he did go to hell and he done beat the snot out of Satan. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities. Isn't that right? Amen. Glory to God. He was raised out of eternal death, where he paid for the sin of the world. He provided redemption for everybody, and it belongs to whosoever would believe. He defeated Satan and all of the host of hell, and the devil no longer has a hold on mankind. He has been disarmed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor Morgan, come here for a moment. So Satan has been disarmed. Okay, now I'm not saying Pastor Morgan Satan, but you understand the analogy. So Pastor Morgan is right here. He's been disarmed and has no hold on me. I don't know why I keep having these problems. I don't know why. I don't know why this keeps on going. I don't know why this keeps coming around. I don't know why I can't get free from it. Because you're still holding on to it. It's all it is, folks. It's all it is. You're holding on to it. You've been loosed. You've been freed. And Satan's been disarmed. You need to let go. And you let go by getting your mind renewed to the Word of God. Thank you. Hallelujah. Are you with me? He no longer has a hold on you. Why are we still holding to him? Because we don't change the way we think according to the Word of God. And therefore, there's no power released in our life. Oh, I want this. Oh, I want that. I'd like it to be better. Oh, I need to. Oh, I just say I'm going to be okay. Well, that is the dumbest stuff. Because there's no power in that. None at all. Oh, you got self-will, but that self-will is going to come to an end.
Yeah, that's it.
Self-will always comes to an end. You think you're a match for the devil? Come on. You got to be kidding me. Outside of Jesus, you're no match. The Word of God is the only thing in all of creation that's ever defeated the devil. Amen. Amen. When Jesus came alive right there in the pit of hell, he preached to the spirits that were imprisoned. They were imprisoned from the days of Noah. They were vile, disgusting demons put into this prison in hell. And Jesus preached to them. You lose, I win. Oh, it looked like you were winning when I was up on that cross. It looked like you were taking me out and you were removing me out of the way. But look at me, right here in your own hometown. I am alive. And I win and you lose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And at that point, he sealed their destiny with no hope of redemption and no way out. Aren't you glad he never said that to you?
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8. Here's another insight into what happened when Jesus rose. It says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives and gave gifts to men. He took captive. So he goes to the prison of the spirits that are in prison, and he preaches to them and tells them that they lost. And then he goes over to the other side called Abraham's bosom, where the Old Testament saints were held because the price of sin had not yet been paid. It was accounted to them as righteous because they were believing in Messiah, but they could not yet enter into heaven because the price of sin was not paid for. Jesus rose from eternal death, paid the price for sin. And now he goes into this place where they were being held in Abraham's bosom. And he tells them that you're not only anymore accounted righteous, but you are the righteousness of God because my blood was shed for you. And he says that he led them out from Abraham's bosom. And he starts heading on up into heaven with all of the Old Testament saints. And Psalm 24 tells us about this. Psalm 24, verses 7 through 10. Hallelujah. Psalm 24, verses 7 through 10. Thank you, Jesus. It says, lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Verse 10, who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. This is the King. Jesus is the King of glory. He was crowned, remember, with glory and honor. It tells us that in Hebrews. He is the King of glory. He is strong. He's mighty in battle. In the battle of all ages, the greatest battle that's ever been fought, he's been risen glorious and victorious as the Redeemer of the spirits of men. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, Armageddon is not the great. Everybody's saying, oh, Armageddon, Armageddon. Let me tell you something. Armageddon's nothing. Armageddon's a piece of cake. You know why Armageddon's already done? Because Jesus is risen from the dead. He's already defeated death and hell. He's already defeated Satan and all of his hosts. Armageddon's a piece of cake. All it is for the people that want to line up with Satan and come against the Lord and his host. They're done.
They're done.
Well, how do you know it's done? Because Jesus has been raised. Because we've stepped into new life. Because we have experienced the kingdom of God and the powers of the age to come. Hallelujah. We're no longer dead in our sins. Our eyes have been enlightened so that we can see clearly. Hallelujah. So here he is going up into heaven, leading hosts. The captives out of Abraham's bosom, they're headed to heaven, and David is probably in the front of the procession saying to heaven, lift up your head, O gates, and lift them up, O everlasting doors, because the King of glory is coming in.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Jesus told the demonic spirits they lost. He took away the captives to lead them to heaven, and as he's leading them to heaven in a procession, he makes a stop off on earth to ease the sorrow of man is when he appeared to Mary. And he even takes the time for a personal touch. God has a personal touch for you. And all you have to do is ask him for one. You know, I remember when, before getting saved, we used to say things like, well, I tell you what, if God's everywhere, he's going to show up right where I'm at. He ain't drinking Jack Daniels with you. He ain't smoking dope with you. You know, we used to drop all kinds of psychedelic drugs. He wasn't on those trips. He didn't buy a ticket to go with us. God is every place. But are you? Where are you with him? He's ready to touch you. If all you say is, Lord, I need a touch,
you, Lord,
he is ready to touch you. When you say that out of your heart, he will. He led that procession, defeated hell, and stomped off to give a personal touch to Mary. Hallelujah. He tells her, don't cling to me. He goes back to the procession. He spreads his own spotless blood on the mercy seat of God for you and for me. And then he returns to the earth again to his man and shows himself alive and declares freedom to whoever will believe on him as Lord, risen from the dead for their justification. You have been justified. All you have to do is receive it. You know, I could hold up $500 in here in my hand and say, Bob, this is just an example. I could hold up $500 in my hand and say, Bob, this is for you. And Bob could sit there and go, oh, good, that's great. I'm so glad. Oh, hallelujah, thank you, but never come and get it. And there's a lot of believers like that. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad. Oh, I thank you that you've done all this. Oh, I'm so glad that you have provided. But you never pick it up. You got to pick it up.
Yes.
You have to go get it. It's yours. It's been provided.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
I don't know if you've noticed, but Golden Corral don't make home deliveries. But you can go there and eat all that you want. He's provided it all. All you have to do is pick it up.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Are you with me? For the first time, you have to understand now, for those that are born again, they are in Christ. Is that right? And in the Trinity, there is the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. Jesus is the Word. So today we say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but it wasn't always that way. Before Jesus came, before the Word came and lived in a physical body, there were three in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. The Word took on flesh. And if you're in Christ, you're now represented in the Trinity. There is somebody in the Trinity to represent you. There is somebody at the right hand of the Father representing you. Hallelujah. You know why? Because God loves you more than you even love yourself. God loves you so much. He sent his only son to die for you, shed his blood for you, to die, not just to die for you, but to die a torturous, horrendous death. That there is not a movie on the face of the earth that can actually depict what Jesus went through. And he did that. Why? Because that's what sin does. That's what sin does. Jesus was just an example of what sin does. And he paid that price so that we could be free. He took it all so that we could be free.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Because he loves you. He loves you. Hallelujah. If the rulers of the age had known it, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. Luke chapter 24. Verse 44, and we'll start there, maybe to 53, but we'll see where it goes. Luke 24:44. It says, now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. And that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they, after worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. Hallelujah. Jesus drove back the darkness from mankind. He destroyed Satan's stronghold on the human race. In Christ, the Father has removed all the ordinances that was held against us. He's given us his life, given us his promises, given us his Spirit. so that we can all make a choice to head to the light and freely walk out of the defeated darkness. I hear of almost every single person that has ever died, they always say they're going to the light. And you will. The only thing is, will you stay there? It's not going there that matters. It's whether you get to stay there or not. Because if you're judged not in Christ, you don't get to stay there. But if you're judged in Christ, then you get to stay there. Are you with me? We all make a choice. We can head to the light. We can walk out of this darkness that has already been defeated. We can go forth in Him and spread the light of the gospel, helping others to open up their eyes to the deception of the devil and walk out of the darkness that is already defeated in their life. Let me ask you this. Over the last 60 years, how much deception has come over this nation? So in the last 6,000 years, how much deception has come over the world? And just like people don't want to always accept the light of the gospel, they don't want to accept the light of the deception that's on the nation either. But yet Jesus came so that we could be free. He came to push the darkness away. He came to drive back the darkness. He came to defeat darkness so that we could all be free and walk in the light. Darkness cannot hold anyone who chooses to walk in the light of Christ's victory. It cannot hold you. We must stand to drive back the darkness with the light of the gospel so that Jesus can be exalted and the transforming power of God displayed in this generation as never before, bringing in the end time harvest of souls. You know, even sharing the gospel is a choice. Because, you know, and this is part of the deception. You're faced with somebody and you're thinking, I should share the gospel with them. But then you think, well, what if they don't want to hear it? Well, what if they have an adverse reaction to it? Well, what if they don't like me? Or what if they get really mad at me? Well, what if they don't get mad? What if they do like you? What if they've been looking for you all their life? What if they've been hoping for something to change them? See, why do we go down the road of the negative? Because we're walking under the deception. But it's time to hold the line. It's time to refuse to slow down or weaken our stance of faith until the whole earth is filled with the knowledge of God's glory. Amen. That's the time we live in. And because of what Jesus has done in His resurrection, He has empowered you. And He has strengthened you by His Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All you have to do is make the choice.
Yes.
John chapter 8, verse 24. And then we're going to look at verse 58. John chapter 8, verse 24. And it says, therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He. Now the word He in the real Bible, not on the screen, but in the real Bible, the word He is italicized. So He is not really there. It was added by translators who once again has messed this up. For unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Verse 58. And Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. I am. Jesus called Himself, I am. In the Greek, it is the words ego, am I. Ego, am I. I am. And it's evident that such a far-reaching and in reality astounding claim as is made by the Lord Jesus, it's hard to accept that outside of the highest estimation of His person. I mean, I've known people that say, well, Jesus was a prophet. Well, you know, Jesus was a good man. Well, Jesus was this, but He wasn't God. Well, He said He was right there. I am. So if Jesus was a good man, how's a good man a liar? You see our level of standard? Yeah, you can lie, but you're still good. Really? Lying's not good. If Jesus was a good man, how could He lie? If Jesus died with spotless blood, how could He be a liar? He said, I am, ego, I may. The whole, he spoke that to the Jews, because the whole unhappiness of the Jews was not that they had sin, but that they would die in their sins. And Jesus said, except you believe that I am. And Jesus meant nothing short of this. Except you believe that I am God come in the flesh, you will die in your sins, even though I have provided everything necessary for you to be free from it. It is well for us, thank God, that he said, unless you believe that I am, is what he said in verse 24. He said, unless you understand it. Well, I don't understand that. It means nothing. It means nothing. And you never will understand it until you believe it. You got to believe it first, and then the understanding comes, because just like when he spoke to his disciples and he said he opened their minds to understand the scripture. Well, that's what happens when you get born again. Your eyes get enlightened.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
And that's when you start to understand by faith the truth of the word of God. Isn't that right? So he didn't say, I guess you understand. He said, unless you believe. Because that's the whole foundation of believing, is rather to believe rather than understand. See, when you are in your head and trying to figure out what that word says until you can understand it and figure it out before you believe it, your head is your God. You are your own God, because you will not believe what the word says until you understand it. And your logic and your reasoning is now your God. And that thing is so far beyond what you can reason. And what you can understand. And if you do take what you can understand, you're so limited in what you believe.
That's good.
Are you with me? See, it's faith that comes from God and from God alone. Unless you believe that I am. Because there are many gods, quasi-gods, mighty gods, but not the Almighty.
That's right.
There's many quasi-words out there, but they're not mighty. There's no power in them. There's only one. There's only one Almighty God, one Almighty Word of God, and only one Almighty life. And apart from that, it's all quasi. Only one ego I may. Understand or simply receive by faith. And that's always asking. It's like coming to a little child. And you say something to that little child, a two-year-old, that two-year-old's going to believe you. And it's that simple. Does that two-year-old understand? Nope. They just believe what you said. And that's why Jesus said, come to me like a little child.
Yes.
I'm telling you stuff beyond your own ability to understand. But if you'll believe it, you'll come up to that level of living.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. We received the new birth by faith, saved by the one who bore our sins and paid the price for our freedom. Hallelujah. God is so good. God is so loving. God is so graceful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're going to receive some communion today, but I want to share a few things with you about communion before we do. So go to 1 Corinthians 11. 24 through 26. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians 11, 24 through 26. And when he had given thanks, he broke the bread, and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So the bread and the cup is not the manifested body and blood of Christ. It's the elements that point to his body and blood. It's the broken body that was on that cross that paid the price for our sicknesses, our diseases, calamities, anxieties, our pains, and our sorrows. The stripes on his back bore all that away for us. His body was broken for us. The chastisement that came upon him should have come upon us. But his body was broken so we could be whole. And then the cup of his blood that was shed for us, spotless, sinless blood that was shed and poured out onto the mercy seat for us so that we could be redeemed from sin. You see, sickness, disease, anxiety, calamities, pain, sorrow, lack, all of those things is just a result of sin in the world. Doesn't mean you're in sin, but those are the result of sin in the world. Because sin came into the world through Adam, all of those things got released into the world. And Jesus took care of it all at one time through his sacrifice on the cross and paying the price for our sins. Through his broken body and his shed blood, he's given us victory in every realm, spirit, soul, and body. Every realm we have victory. You know, Dennis talked about how you live in two different realms, but in each realm we can have the victory. Yeah. It's not like, well, I'm a spirit being and I have a victory, but in the natural realm, there's no victory. Oh, you can have victory in both. Yeah. If you learn to live out of the spirit realm, you can have victory in the natural realm. You can have victory in the soulish realm if you will live out from your spirit. Everybody says things like, well, I'm a new creature in Christ and that's good. Well, it is good, but are you living there? Yeah. Are you living from there? Or are you living just like the world and being mere men? You can't expect any victory living like the world. Right. He didn't die so you could live like the world. He still loves you if you do, but he didn't die for that. He died so you can have victory over the world. Verse 27 through 31. He says, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. So he says that we should judge ourselves or examine ourselves, to examine whether or not we are in covenant relationship with the God, with God, and with one another. Covenant relationship with God and with one another. We are to examine, scrutinize ourselves, that we are living as a covenant-keeping believer. Yes. This is very important. This is not about living perfect. Thank God. Because, yes. You know, that's where your flesh goes. Well, I just can't be perfect. No kidding, sweetheart. This is such a revelation. It's not about living perfect. It's about living in good standing with God and with others through repentance and faith in Christ, that we should be in covenant relationship with one another, in good standing with one another, that when there are aughts, it should be forgiven. If there are aughts, we should ask for forgiveness. Isn't that right? Amen. So when the Holy Spirit convicts us of something that's out of line in our life, out of line in our words, out of line in any area, we quickly repent and don't sweep it under the rug. Yeah. And stay in that covenant relationship with God. Because if you confess your sins as a believer, if you confess your sins, then all unrighteousness is wiped out. Yes. As an unbeliever, you can't confess your sins. You got to confess Jesus. Yes. Amen? Amen. If we do not do these things, if we do not quickly repent of the things the Holy Spirit convicts us of that's out of line in our life or out of in our words, then we do not appreciate, we do not value, we do not understand, nor do we understand Christ's sacrificial covenant. That's good. And that's important. Because how many times have you had something like, yeah, I shouldn't really say that, but oh, what the heck? You just disvalued what Jesus did for you. Dishonored him. You knew you shouldn't have said that, but you went and said it anyway. You know, I never had that issue. Well, maybe your conscience is seared. Just saying. For this reason, many of you are weak. The Greek word asthenios, which means all forms of sickness, disease, and weakness, and even being financially poor. Many of you are weak and sick. The word sick, aristos, means to be in bad health, weak and broken condition, even could be an invalid. Many of you are weak, sick, and sleep. The word sleep, the Greek word koimeo, where we get the word coma. You may be walking around, but you may be in a coma. And it even means to actually physically die. Now, who's he writing this to? The Corinthians. They were fighting with one another. They were jealous of each other. There was divisions among them. They were even taking each other to court and suing one another. Yet, they're declaring themselves to be in covenant with God and covenant with one another. And their behavior did not demonstrate covenant. So God's not looking to your flowery words. He's looking at your actions. He's looking at your life and that which comes from your heart. God does not look at the outward as man does. He looks upon the heart.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
Amen. They were not living up to the terms of covenant. And Paul urged them. More than Paul urging them, the Holy Spirit urges. Take a truthful, scrutinizing look at your thoughts, your attitudes, your words, your actions, and judge yourself rightly. If repentance is in order, then do so.
Yes.
And start turning your life around.
Thank you.
Stop going down that path. You're headed in a wrong direction, and it's called weak, sick, and death. Not a good direction. Now, we know what we said before. Well, dying, I'm just going to be with Jesus. Well, then just make the decision to step on over. You don't have to die sick. You don't have to die weak. You don't have to die all beat up by diseases. You can just make a decision, just like Isaac gave up the ghost. Just give it up. You know, Brother Hagin, I remember he said one time, he says, if you hear that I've gone, you know that I'm satisfied. And one morning he had his good friends over and they all had breakfast together and everything. And he just bowed his head and he went on home to be with the Lord. The family freaked out. They all freaked out. Oh, what happened? What happened? Oh, we got to get him to the hospital. And I'm thinking to myself, I read the account and I'm thinking, but he said, if I'm gone, it's because I'm satisfied. What are you freaking out over? You just make the decision. See, but the problem is, too many Christians don't know how to live by faith, so therefore they don't know how to die by faith. See, because that last step called physical death is not the end of your life. It's the end of your battles here on the earth. And it's the last enemy to put underfoot. But we can repent of not walking in covenant with God or not walking in covenant with one another. Well, you know, I just like everybody. Then why do you gossip so much about them? That's not covenant. Why do you talk about them when they're not around? That's not covenant. I'm not looking at anybody. I'm looking up at the ceiling. Are you with me? Just take a moment right now. Bow your head. If you need to repent, then repent. Ask the Holy Spirit. Don't trust your own memory or your own self. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you what it is you need to repent of and get yourself in right position with God. Judge, scrutinize, examine rightly. Amen. One last verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. And we'll close here. 1 Corinthians 10, 16. Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? The cup of blessing. The cup is a cup of blessing and thanksgiving. That our heart and our mouth overflows with good words of blessing and thanksgiving. Even on this day where we celebrate the resurrection, a heart that is actually overflowing cannot contain thank you. It cannot contain a blessing to the Lord. It can't contain it. A heart overflowing with a thanksgiving and don't stand there and go,
thank you, Lord Jesus.
No, I'm sorry. You're so, you barely have a drip coming out of your heart. See, a heart that's overflowing with blessing and thanksgiving can't contain it. It's like a fire shut up in your bones. Oh, but I'm glad. I mean, I'm happy. Well, that's a good start. You know, how about getting filled up? You know, I got some water here. You know, and I could drink it all the way down till it's about here. And that cup could just about tip all the way over before we even get a drip out of it. Or I could fill it up to the rim and all I have to do is shake it a little bit and it's going to spill out. This is why so many people are like, well, I tell you what, I could take pressure. Why? That makes no sense. The reason you take it is because you're so empty and you have no other answer. That's why you're getting beat to the right and to the left. You're getting all beat up, but you got nothing coming out. But if you were filled up to the top, just a little shaking. I got an ant in my water. Anyway, must be thirsty. Anyway, if it was filled up to the top, just a little bit of pressure would cause spilling out. See, you'd spill out right away. Whatever, this is what Jesus said, whatever fills your heart fills your mouth. If there's nothing in your heart, there ain't nothing in your mouth. The cup is a cup of blessing. Do you see the cup? Do you see the elements of communion? The body and blood, do you see that as a cup of blessing? Do you see it as the breaking, a sharing in the body of Christ? It means that you are engaged, you are involved, and you're participating in the body of Christ. This is a true engagement of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 17, and he finishes up by saying, since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. We all partake. This means an active, actual participant in the bread, in the body of Christ. In order to experience the benefits of communion, we must actively invest our faith as we receive the body and the blood elements of the communion table. Again, this is just another thing of faith. If you're not releasing faith in what you're doing, then you're having a little bite to eat and a little sip of a drink. But if we actively participate in faith, in the blessing and the thanksgiving of what the body and the blood is all about, it puts us on a whole different level. So as we partake of the elements today, let's remember this. Jesus gave us total and complete victory. And he gave utter defeat for darkness. Sin, disease, lack, and all that hell has to offer any human being has been defeated. And we proclaim the victory of his death. And we declare that he is alive. And we continue on in this life. It doesn't end today, but we continue on living in the resurrection. You've already accepted Jesus as your Lord. Move on from the cross. Get on beyond the tomb and come out the other side and walk in a resurrection life. Hallelujah. And in doing so, we do it looking for his return. And we declare he's coming back again every time that we partake of the communion table. Can you say amen? Amen. So we're going to partake of communion this morning, and we're going to have you come up and receive it. So I'm going to ask you to just come up the center aisle, and you will be served the bread and the cup. I'm going to have the music team come up. We're going to have you to serve you the bread and the cup. And when you come up the center aisle, just come and get the elements, partake of your communion right here, and then go back down the side aisles. Okay? All right, just lift your hands to the Lord. Father, we bless you. Father, we thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that you sent Jesus for us. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that he's provided it all. He's done it all. He set everything in motion so that we can have all victory and be the overcomers that you've made us to be. Now, Father, I thank you for that. Now, if you're on live stream or on podcast, you just get yourself a piece of bread and get yourself a little something to drink. Partake of communion with us. And remember, it's a cup of blessing and a cup of thanksgiving. So as you come to partake of the elements today, come with a heart of thanksgiving. Come with words of blessing and honor God in that which you're doing and be thankful for all that Jesus has done for you. Amen. Amen, amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. We'll start because nobody else is getting up. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we bless you and honor you. And thank you, Father. Thank you for all that you've done in Jesus for us. Thank you, Jesus. You broke your body so that we could be whole. You shed your blood so we could be delivered and set free. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Of communion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glorious and mighty one. Everlasting God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless your name, Lord Jesus. Bless your name, Lord Jesus. Our heart overflows with a good theme, a theme of thanksgiving, a theme of honor, a theme of adoration, a theme that blesses you, Lord God. We give you the praise and the glory. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, good. Thank you. Praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Well, let's work very hard today at containing our thanksgiving so that we don't offend anybody. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, you know, today doesn't end with today. Jesus is raised every day. And as I said before, we can go forth in the power of the resurrection. Go forth in the power of the Spirit. That we can start to learn to live and operate out from that place on an everyday basis. And the way you do that is by having the Word of God in your heart and in your mouth. The Word of God in your heart and in your mouth. The Word of God in your heart and in your mouth. And it will go forth in power and it will bring changes into your life. Can you say amen?
Amen,
amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, you know, when Abraham met Melchizedek, who was the priest of the Most High God, Melchizedek came out with the elements of communion and they partook, and then Abram came with his tithe. So as the elements of communion were given today, so then we also come with our side of giving and give in tithes and offerings also. To our high priest, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is after the order of Melchizedek. Isn't that right? Amen. So we're going to sow our seed to him, and as he fulfilled his side of covenant, we fulfill our side of covenant, and we drive back the darkness even in the area of our finances. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We bless you. We honor you. We glorify you, Lord God. Thank you for this opportunity to sow our seed, to bring in our tithes and our offerings. Father, I just thank you so much that your word, Father, also attaches promise to our giving, that we set our faith, Father. We don't just do this out of routine, but we set our faith on that which you have declared. And we call those things in, we put them in our heart, we put them in our mouth, and we say, according to your word, what you say about giving and the results of it. And we thank you for it and bless you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. If you joined us on live stream, thanks again for being with us today. And I'm so honored to be able to share the word of God with you there, just as with those that are here. If you'd like to sow seed into the ministry, go to the website, newlifefamilyworship.net, and click on the giving link. If there's anything we can ever pray with you about, please let us know, because together we go forward in the things of God, walking in the power of resurrection and expecting God's word, promise, and will to be done in your life. Amen. 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 Praise God.